Welcome to Sound Encouraging Words by Reverend I.C. Hines. Open your Bibles. It's time to get into the Word.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Brother Barry, who is a part of the ministry team of Breath of Life Church, will be ministering to us today. Have a great day. God bless.
This is a song my daddy wrote a long time. I hope it's a blessing.
I was heavy burdened down. The hand of Satan had me bound. Hold on, Jesus, and he had compassion on me. When his love came rushing in, and he took away my sins, I was changed. Satan knew I'd been set free. 'Cause I've been touched by those hands that were hanging from a tree on a lonely hill that day. He put a song in my heart that keeps ringing. It was Jesus who made me this way. The world can take all the things that I've worked for through the years. They can take this old house I'm living in. Oh, but there's one thing I know they'll never take.
I heal the sick, I raise the dead, I cleanse the lepers. I do all these things because I have the power within me.
Yeah.
He says, one day, he says, after I go to the cross, back to my Father, he says, I want you to wait. I want you to wait in Jerusalem. And there's going to be power that's going to come upon you.
Yes.
And 40 days later,
yes,
that power came upon the disciples.
Yeah.
And they had that power, they had that life in them to go about, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. They had all power within them. And nothing has changed in these last 2,000 years.
Why not?
If you've got the power of God within you, we got to learn to use it.
Yes.
We got to learn to not be afraid anymore.
Yes, amen.
He told Joshua, he says, Moses is dead, Moses is gone on. our old pastor's going on to be with the Lord. He says, but Joshua, he says, I want you to take these people into this promised land. And I want you to have all, everywhere that you, where you step, that is going to be a blessed land, and it's yours. I'm giving it to you.
Yes,
we are no different now. Pastor's gone on to be with the Lord, but he's raising up new people. He's raising up people that are filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
That love the Word of God.
Yes.
That love truth.
Yes.
That they love the way that Jesus Christ walked. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
He says, the way that I walk, I want you to walk.
Yes.
The things that I do, I want you to do.
Yes.
The life that I lived, I want you to live it. Be holy, for I am holy.
Yes.
We have a great commission, but we have a great God behind us.
Yes.
We don't have to be afraid of anything.
That's right.
The devil goes around and he tries to destroy and kill, to bring sickness.
Yes.
But our God is a great God.
Yes.
Our God is Almighty God. There's nothing our God can't do.
Yes.
That's right.
Right.
When he died upon that cross, and he said that the veil was ripped in two.
Yeah.
And what was behind that veil was God upon the throne. So when Jesus gave up his veil of flesh, we could now come into the presence of God.
Yeah.
But now that veil of flesh is us, and that's power of God is within us.
Amen. Yes.
Isn't that amazing what God can do to us? He says, you were reading that scripture that the heaven and the earth came down from heaven, and God was with his people.
Amen.
Our people are not in heaven.
Yeah.
Our people are here on earth.
Yes.
That's right.
But he came to dwell within us. We are the new heaven and the new earth.
Yes.
And one day, I'm not saying that there's not going to be a heaven, but we are the heaven and earth. God is dwelling within us. And he says, your leaves are going to be for the healing of the nations. There's no nations in heaven. They're here on earth.
That's right, yeah.
And that's why he's given us that pure river of life flowing from the throne of God.
Amen.
It's flowing out of us.
Yes, amen.
And Jesus said to that woman at the well, he said, if you knew who was asking you for a drink, he said, I would have gave it to you. And Jesus said, all that are thirsty, come unto me at the end of the chapter. Or you didn't finish reading at the end. All that are thirsty, come unto me. The bride says, come.
Yeah.
The Spirit says, come.
Yeah.
Come unto me and drink of this life-giving water.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
This water is here for us now.
Yes.
It was an example when the rock followed him in the wilderness. He says that rock that followed him was Christ. But Moses spoke to that rock and water gushed out and it fed 2 to 3 million people with animals. And can you imagine that? Like how much water would have to gush out of that rock to feed the thirst of 2 to 3 million people, plus animals, plus it's sinking into the sand.
Yes.
The water was flowing and gushing. And yet he told them, he says, one day, he says, you're going to forsake me when you go into this promised land that's flowing with milk and honey. He says, one day you're going to walk away from the God that the life-giving water. And he says, I'm going to have to judge you. I'm going to have to take you to Babylon one day and just to prove to you that I am the God He says, you gave up the life, but God was the fountain of life, the flowing water. And you know, when God talks about all this stuff, the Bible, I know it's hard for people to understand, but even for us that have known and read this Bible for a long time, that there's still stuff in here that we can't understand and we don't know. But he tries to make it easy on us, and he says that a tree of life, or the bread of life, or the water of life, these are all examples of heavenly things that we can attain to. But he makes it easy for us to try to understand. He talks in parables, and he says, and he shows us things. And this is what we have to, why we have to, he says, come unto me and learn of me. Learn of me. We have to learn of God.
Yeah.
And how do we learn? When we are in school, how do we learn? We read a book. We read something that tells us how to do this or do that.
Yeah.
God is no different. He's given us a word. He's given us a book.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, learn of me.
Yes.
And your yoke will be light. When we yoke ourselves up to God, he's walking right with us. Our yoke is, you know what a yoke is, right?
Yeah.
And it's the thing that ties the two animals together over their heads. And he says, take my yoke upon you. So he says, walk with me, and I'll walk with you. Remember, Pastor said that when he used to do this on the farm, they would yoke an old cow or an old ox up with a young one. And that old one would teach the young one. The young one would want to, come on, old guy, let's go. The old guy would say, slow down, we got 10, 12 hours of work to do. But that's how God is. Sometimes we want to run ahead with God, and we're yoked to God, and he says, slow down, boy, we got a long race to go.
Yeah.
I remember when Pastor prophesied over me one time, he says, God's going to use these, but it's going to take a long, long time. And I said, what are you talking about? I'm ready to go right now. I'm ready to go now. He says, slow down, boy. You're not ready yet. He took the children of Israel 40 years for them to finally learn. Right? But he wanted to show them his goodness. He wanted to show them his mercy. And, you know, I was convicted, not convicted, but I'll probably say that I was up in the air whether what should I talk about. Because I shared this word last week, but I intended it for this week. And sometimes I guess I got ahead of myself. I shared it before God wanted me to share it. And so I tried to, this week I tried to think of something else. I tried to get another message. And I kept coming back to this because God is leading us, right? And if we're listening to him.
Yeah. Amen.
That's where we have to get to a point where we're listening to God.
Yeah.
We're meditating on God. We're meditating on his word. He says, I'm going to give you a word.
Yes.
And that word is going to be for a certain day, for a certain person, for a certain people.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, this will be good on a Friday night because there's going to be a lot of young Christians there if they come in, right?
Yes.
So it's like Moses says, well, I'll save them. And he went to go and went to kill the Egyptian. And God has to slow down, slow down. You got another 40 years in the wilderness to go. You got another 40 years after that.
Yes.
So we have to be, like somebody already said, we have to be wise in the work of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have to be patient. And we have to know what God is trying to say to us. And Hannah, I know God's going to bless you with that job.
Yes.
You know why? Because you're a godly person. And God says, there's a difference between the godly and the ungodly.
Yeah.
They're blessed.
Yeah.
God says you're blessed. You know what blessed means? It means you're happy, a happy life.
Yes.
Remember when we were in the world? We're crying and tears are in our eyes and drinking and sobbing over our life and our misery. Right?
Yeah.
And we thought our life was so great. We didn't want to come to God. Mom would phone me every Sunday. Oh no, that's Mom again. She wants to come to church. God let her ring. But then finally one day, she said, you know, I promised her, and I was on that New Year's Eve in 1988, I guess it would be the end of the year of 88. And I forgot all about it. I forgot all about that I promised Mom that I was going to go to church with her. And then she phones me up. I said, that's mine. And here we were, my wife was at the hairdresser's getting all balled up. We're going to go out on New Year's Eve. And I said, no, we've got to go to church. I promised her, this time I'm going to go. So we went to church. And I seen that life in people. I seen that Holy Ghost in people. Their face would just shine. Because the Holy Ghost is said is just like the oil.
Yeah.
That oil just makes your oil, your face shine. And that bread gives you sustenance, gives you life. The water makes you not thirsty anymore. It makes you thirsty, more thirsty for God.
Yes.
And that's what he says when he says, I want to give you life and life more abundantly. You know, there was a time in the Garden of Eden where all this just happened. They didn't have to do anything. God was with them. He walked with them in the cool of the day. There was no sin. There was no... They were just in the presence of God 24 hours a day, whatever. However, they had time back then. But it's... And he wants that again. And that's what we're trying to get back to. We're trying to get back to the New Jerusalem that He has planned for us. I know He calls us the New Jerusalem here on earth, but there's a new heaven and a new earth. There's something that He has planned.
Yeah.
It's just like the tabernacle was just a shadow, a foreshadow of what is in heaven, that Moses' temple. Our Moses' tabernacle. He said it's just a shadow of what's in heaven. And the New Jerusalem, we are just a shadow of what is in heaven. We are the New Jerusalem.
Yes.
And we have that river of life flowing out of us.
Because
where's the throne of God now? It's in here, right?
That's right. Amen.
The throne of God is here.
Amen.
That's where He sits. And He said, if that river of life is flowing out of the throne of God, it's flowing out of you.
Yes.
I remember when I first wanted that Holy Ghost. I said, whatever they got, I'm going to get it. And I prayed like 7 months. I would get down on my knees in my bed, at the end of my bed, and I would pray and say, give me this Holy Ghost, Lord. Give me this Holy Ghost. And then I'd get down and then, oh, I just feel the in me, this like the hair on my neck, and this, and I would get up and I would, I'm not praying anymore. You just feel that devil. He knew I was coming.
Yeah.
He knew I was coming. He's going to get the Holy Ghost one day. And I'm not going to have rule over him anymore.
That's right. Amen.
He's going to rule over me one day.
Okay, let's go to our sermon. That's just for interest. Like Pastor would say, you get that. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, today, Lord God, that you've gathered us here together, Lord. Lord, I'm hopeful, God, that the Word of God would touch our hearts. God, that you would give us wisdom and understanding, O God, of what you have planned for us, O Lord. You see this little humble church here, O God, on Main Street here. God, but we serve a big God, Lord. We serve a mighty God that spoke worlds into existence. There's nothing that you can't do, Lord God. There's nothing that you can't do through your church, Lord God. And we know as people, Lord God, that we are nothing in your eyes, Lord God, in ourselves, Lord God. But it's only through you, Lord. God, you said that you are the vine and we are the branches, Lord God. And if we abide in you, O God, that river of life is going to flow through this vine and out into the branches. And God, people will see, Lord, that we are a blessed people. You said to the Israelites, he says, I want you to show yourself blessed to the nations around you. Follow my laws, keep my commandments, do as I say, and you will be a blessed people. The land where you dwell, I will water it. I will give the water of life freely to this land. It will flow in the seasons, in the former rain and the latter rain. And I will bless the land. The corn will grow to give you food. The vines will grow to give you fruit. Apples, oranges, everything that you need, I will give it to you. And I will be your God and you'll be my people. I will walk with you wherever you go. I'll go 3 days in front of you, which is when they traveled. The Ark of God went 3 days in front of them. Any enemies that was there, God knew where they were, who they were. And he says, I'll destroy your enemies before you. Joshua had nothing to worry about when he went into this promised land. Because God was going before him. And he was destroying the enemies before them. And by the time Joshua and them got into the land, they were so scared, they were shaking in their boots because they knew what God had done. At the Red Sea, he says, they knew what God done to the three kings on the other side of Jordan. I destroyed them. And he says, you're a blessed people. So God, open our eyes today and let us know how blessed we are, how powerful we are in God, and how great a nation, Lord God, that you have prepared for those, O God, that love you and keep your commandments. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God, amen. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. I think the only one that hasn't heard this today is our sister here, so we're blessed today. and Kenny, yes. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord,
And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Yes.
You know, our sister said here today, Michelle says that we are not the elders. All the old ones have long passed on, except for our brother here. And God is raising up different people now. But it's not the person. It's not who you are.
No.
It's God working through you, speaking through you, healing through you, whatever the work is that he wants to do. But we are learning. I'm just learning how to up here and to put together a sermon, put together something to say. We are just learning this. If we should have learned this long time ago, I think, you know?
Yes.
But I never knew how to put together a sermon before. Like, Pastor never, like, showed you, like, how to put together this, but you just kind of learn on your own, right? But there's nothing wrong with that, learning it, because God is showing you. God is our teacher.
Yes.
God's our teacher, right?
Yes.
What better teacher do we have than that?
Yes, amen.
Right?
Yeah. Holy Ghost.
Yep, the Holy Ghost is there.
Yeah.
That's why he gave us that.
Yeah.
And he says, I give you my word to teach you.
Yes.
The word of God is like the spoken word of God.
Yes.
It's the word of God.
Yes.
So he says, blessed is the man.
Yes.
Like we said, like when we were in the world, we weren't blessed. We weren't happy. We didn't have a happy life. We thought we had a happy life. There's people out there living there now that think they have a happy life. But it's just feeding your flesh and just feeding what you want to give. Like Solomon said, he says, everything that my flesh desired, he says, I gave it. He had 1,000 wives. He had all kinds of money. He had gold and silver in abundance. And he gave himself every kind of pleasure that there is to have on this earth. But that's not what God wants for us. And poor old Solomon, I don't know if he ever turned back to God, but his wives took him into idolatry. And he just turned away from God. The wisest man on the earth, and God showed so many miraculous things to him, and he turned his back on God. So we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be like the ungodly. We always want to be blessed. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He says, if you want to be blessed, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't sit with them. Don't be with them. Like I said the other day, I tried to keep my son away from my family that was in the world, ungodly. But my son finally graduated to go visit his cousins. And he started walking with them. And then he started standing around waiting to go to them, to see them. We didn't know at that time that he was taking a bus and going to the North End. And finally, when he turned 18, when he was on his own, finally he was like the, he was sitting in the seat of the scornful. He was sitting right there with the young body. And they knew. He knew. He knew he was doing wrong. He knew that he was, when he wasn't playing his father, if he wouldn't tell me, he would, he kept it from me. And that's how God is, except that we can't fool God. He said, if you walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of the sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, he's not going to be pleased with us. We're not going to be blessed. He gives us rules, he gives us laws, commandments. So, like I was saying, that you, it's a progression away from God. First, we're just listening. What did we hear? We heard something ungodly, right? And then we walk, we go and sit down with them, hear them talking there. We want to be with them. God, the devil will entice you that way. And he says, but if you're going to do that, you're not going to be blessed. And that's what this song is about. It says it's about the life of the blessed person in God, and it's about the ungodly.
Yes.
Yeah.
The first three chapters, the first three verses are about the life of the blessed, and the last three verses are the ungodly. Isaiah 57, verse 20. The wicked are like a troubled sea when it cannot rest. The waters cast up mire and dirt, and there is no peace, said my God, to the wicked. So if you're going to live a wicked life, there's not going to be any peace in your life. There's not going to be any joy, there's not going to be any happiness. But we don't want to be like that man. We don't want to be with the scornful. And the scornful is the worst of sinners. You know, you notice when people backslide, that they go all the way to the worst, even before what they were like before in the world. And they get worse than that. And they get scornful. And they get very, very angry at God. And they get hateful to God, and they become mockers and say, that Christian life is nothing, that Christian life is no good, and, you know, all of this causes problems. But that's the way the devil works. We don't want to be sitting in the with the scornful, the mockers. But in verse 2, in Proverbs 21, let me read that verse. Proverbs 10, 21, verse 24. It says, mockers are proud and haughty. This is out of the New Life. Mockers are proud and haughty, and they act with violent arrogance. They're scoffers. That they hate everything that a Christian is, because they are jealous. Just like the devil. The devil was jealous of God. He wanted to have his throne above God's throne. Right?
Yeah.
And that's the devil today. He doesn't want anything good coming out of your life. He doesn't want nothing good coming out of your life. He wants you to be miserable just like him.
Yes.
But to us, what in verse 2, Psalms 1, verse 2, but to the blessed, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law that he meditate day and night. That verse, delight, means to have pleasure. When you read the Word of God, you feel like it's just, you can just read day, and sometimes you can read for hours and hours and hours and hours, right?
Yeah.
You just delight in the Word of God. Because you know why? Because you're eating that life, that fruit of life. You're drinking that water. And you're just learning of God. You want to learn of God, of what God is like. You want to learn who He is. He says, I'm keeping my word. That's why he gave us the word of God, to learn about him. So we spend our time and our delight in the law of the Lord, and his law that we meditate day and night. And I remember when I first came to God as a young Christian, that's what I did, that's what I learned. I said, well, if the apostles weren't to be a godly man in 3.5 years, then that's my goal. I'm going to be a godly man in 3.5 years. 3.5 years later, God told me, he said, you got a long, long way to go. You're not ready yet. But it's like, it's the desire. You want to learn.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
That's how people in the world, that's how they get ahead. Because if they desire something, that's what they're going to do. If they want to desire to be a lawyer, they're going to spend the 7 years or 8 years, whatever it takes to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
My niece Michelle, she has a desire to run a company. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you can translate your desire out there in the world to the desire in the Church of God, what a blessing that God can use, right?
Yes.
In that person.
Yeah.
And that meditate, like I said, that meditated means kind of like to murmur in pleasure. Like I said the other day, when you wake up in the morning, you know you got to get up and the alarm goes off. You shut that old alarm off and you turn over and you can sleep for another 15 minutes. You just go, ah. You just murmur in that pleasure. I can sleep another 15 minutes. And that's what it's like in God. When you start learning about God, you take that pleasure, you take that delight in learning about God.
Yes.
And he's right there teaching you. And he's right there just as happy to teach you. Learn of me. Okay, let's go to Michelle's Psalms 19. I remember when Swami used to sing this song. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is ensured, enlightening the eyes. It says the law of the Lord is perfect. It's complete. There's nothing that you have to add to the word. That's why at the end of the word, under the end of the book, in chapter 22, he says, if anybody adds anything to this or takes it away, he says, you will not have your part in the book of life or in the church. You can't take anything away because God gave everything that we need. It's complete. And it's for the converting of the soul. You know, when you don't know nothing of God, and your life is just what you learn in the world. The soul is who you are, like how you think, how you act. That's what your soul is. And if you go all your life being a sinner, you're just going to sin.
Yeah.
There's no other way around it. You don't know nothing else.
Yeah.
And people out there in the world, if they don't know God, they're just going to act like a sinner, because that's how a sinner acts.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A cat acts like a cat. Sinner acts like a sinner. But the godly act like God.
Yeah.
So we have to like meditate day in and day out on the Word of God, because that's it's complete. It makes us complete.
Yeah.
And it says he restores our soul. In Psalms 23, it says it restores our soul. God is leading us. And he's just leading us beside the still water.
Yeah.
He's leading us into that. The fruitful field, the grass. He's leading us beside that water. And it always comes to water, or grass, or life, or fruit, or bread. It's just God is trying to lead us to his life. Come unto me, he's always saying. Come unto me. Don't be afraid. Come unto me. And it says,
the Lord is sure, making wise and simple. But it says there's no blemish or there's no spot in that, perfect. That's why God says that he's coming back for a church without spot or without wrinkles. He says, you're complete in me. But when I'm coming back, he's just coming back for a church that he made complete, that he made perfect. Not us, not in ourselves, but the blood that he shed upon us, the water that he gave us, he made us complete, and we're without spot and without wrinkles. Right? He says one day, he says in Isaiah, he says that you're going to be as white as snow. Your sins are going to be like white as snow. There's not going to be no spots or nothing. That's why when they had to sacrifice that lamb, it had to be a lamb without any blemish. There's no scabs, no nothing on it. It was just pure white, perfect. Because that represented Jesus Christ and we rejoicing. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The Word of God makes us rejoice. We are happy. You know, when God gave the law on Mount Sinai, back then they believed that the gods lived in the mountains. That's where their dwelling place was, in the mountains. That's why they would go to the mountains and offer their sacrifices under the trees and that. But Mount Sinai was not a place where God was going to come and dwell. He says, he told him, he says, build me a tabernacle, and I'll tell you all the things that I want to build. And that's where I'll meet with you. Mount Sinai was a scary place. There's no life there. There's still no life there. Mount Sinai is nothing right now. There's no life there. But New Jerusalem is Mount Zion. You sing that song. The sides of the north, the city of our God. There's life, there's joy, there's blessings. That's what God is trying to show us. But Mount Sinai was where the law was given. What Jesus gave, he got fruit and got grace. Right? The law brought death because it showed us how we were. It showed us that we were sinners. There was no life in a scary place. Even Moses, he said that he really prayed to God, spoke, because he gave them the law. And there was thunder and lightning. The earth was shaking. Can you imagine that when God speaking? And that's why the people said, don't speak to us anymore. Like that. And God says, okay, I'll raise up a prophet and I'll put my words in his mouth. And that's what Jesus Christ, that's when Jesus Christ came along. He was speaking God's word. Even though that he was God manifested in the flesh. God said, I'll put my words in his mouth. And then that's what he said. He said, the words that I speak, they're not mine. The things that I do, I didn't do them. It's the God within me. Verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, I was telling them last week that a tree, it sheds its leaves in the fall time. Because winter's coming, there's going to be no more water to feed those leaves. But then that tree's going to have to shed them. So they're going to wither and fall off. And that's why Jesus says it. He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. That water is always flowing through that vine. And the leaves are always green. They're always, the fruit is always there. And he says, that's why you have to abide in me.
because that water's there, your leaves will always be green. There will always be fruit in your life. That's why he says, seek after the good things of God, the fruits of God, the fruits of the Spirit. You can ask for these things. This is God's goodness that he wants to show. He gave them a lamb flowing with milk and honey. And he was showing them what we can live like in today. It's examples. It's metaphors. It's God showing himself who he is. So the more that we learn of God, the more of his life is going to be within us. And the more that our life is within, with his life is within us, the more that the people are going to see that you are blessed. You are a godly person. They know the difference, right? When I went to school, I didn't say anything to anybody. I didn't tell them anything. Well, one time this girl come up to me and she said, Barry, we're going to the hotel. She said, do you want to come with us? I said, no, I don't do that. And she says, I knew there was something about you. I knew there's something different about you. But it's the same thing I seen when I came to the church and I seen that glow in people's lives. I seen that fruit on their branches. I seen their leaves green. And that's what we are to the world. We are the tree of life. I got so much here. I'm just going to shorten it down a bit. In verse 4, well, let's go to 137, Psalm 137. Remember, he's making a difference here with the ungodly and the blessed.
Yes.
On 137, Psalms 137, this is a song about Israel when they were taken captivity into Babylon. Because of their sin, because of their disobedience, their idolatry. And they were warned. Remember, Isaiah and Jeremiah says, who shall I send and warn them that judgment's coming? And he looked through heaven and earth, and he couldn't find anybody. And he finally found Jeremiah, and Jeremiah said to him, and the life that Jeremiah must have been through for the word of God, to bring forth the word of God. He was a man that was, I don't think I could do what he did. He would lay a year on his side and preach to tell them. Was it 3 years or 1 year? Or he laid on his side and he told them, he says, judgment's coming. But he had a cookie's food on the dome of the palace. All these things that he went through. Same with Paul. How many times would he was beaten and he was caned and he was whipped for the word of God. But when the word of God is in you and God expects you to give it up, you have to give your life and do it. And he says, I'll be with you. I'll bless you. Won't be afraid. He says, just do what I ask you to do.
Yes.
By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our hearts upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required us a song, and they that wasted us required us a mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? So they were taken to captivity in Babylon because of their own doing. They got nobody to blame but themselves. God warned them many, many times. And God showed them many mercies. And many, many times he asked them, he says, turn back unto me and I'll bless you. I'll continue to bless you. But they wouldn't turn back unto God. So they were there because of their own doing. But when they got there to Babylon, they were sitting down by the rivers. Now this river probably wasn't clear as the river flowing out of the throne of God. But it was an earthly river. And they sat down and they wept and they cried and they thought, look at all the good things that we had in God. We had the temple, we had the worship, we had the sacrifices to take away our sins. We had all the goodness of God and we just let it. And we just let it go. So it carried us to Babylon. And they said that the harps that they used to sing God's songs on, the harps, they couldn't sing them anymore. You know, when we're out, when the people go out into the world and they try to sing God's songs, they can't do it. My ex-wife, she used to go to, God used to anoint her with singing God's songs.
Yes.
And she tried to use that singing when she went out into the world. It doesn't work. You can't sing God's songs in the land of the ungodly. You have to sing God's songs. Because God won't even accept it. It's ungodly to him. But those that are blessed can sing praises unto God like you did here today. God was so strong here. The first moment I walked in here, I heard that song, the goodness of God, the blessed of God. And I knew this was what has to be shared today.
Yeah.
God is trying to tell us how good he is. And we already know. Our children, they know. We don't have to tell our children anything. My son, he got paid this week, Thursday, and he was supposed to go to work on Friday. And I don't know what happened, but I found out from his mom that he didn't go to work. So I texted him right away. I said, Jeremy, what happened? And I haven't heard from him since. Because he knows, he says, I don't want to upset my father. I don't want to be ashamed of what I'm doing. Because I know it doesn't please my father. And that's exactly how he felt, I believe. Because I know when I upset my father, do I break? I should. I don't want to go hide. It's like Adam and Eve. When they knew they upset their father, they ran and they tried to hide. But he says, come up to me, I'll clothe you. They found out that they were naked. They didn't have the glory of God anymore in their life. Come up to me and I'll give you a temporary clothing. God. So the rivers here are mired and dirty, like I said. The wicked are like the troubled sea, where it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. If you are an ungodly person, that's what your river of life is going to be like, mire and dirt. It's going to stir up all that ungodliness. Now let's go. Let's get off of this and let's go to a river of life that flows from God. I thought my sister was going to read that to you. She went into Revelation. Verse 20, chapter 22, verse 1. See, here's a description of what the city of God. It goes on to. It goes on from chapter 21. They said that we will overcome, we shall inherit all things. I will be his God, he shall be my son. He said, but the fearful and the unbelieving and abominable, the murderers are poor along the sources and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burned with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. all the ungodly, that's going to be their fate, their fate. Then he goes on to say, he carried me away into the spirit, and he showed me that great city, the heavenly Jerusalem, the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. And he goes into description of what this city is like. He says there's going to be walls there. There's going to be gates there. And all these things are just representation of Jesus Christ. He says that the walls in Isaiah, he says the walls, he says, he will call them salvation. And the gates are going to be praise. Because in this city, that the gates are never going to be closed. There's always going to be praising God in this city. And the walls, he said, will call them salvation. He said that in the Ephesians, he says that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. That wall is the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And because of that salvation, we are praising God day in and day out in our lives. I know there's coming a point in time that there's no, that we are going to be in that place that God has prepared for us. But while we are living here on earth, yeah, we'll cry, we'll have shed some tears, but mostly those tears that are shed are tears of joy. It's not of unhappiness. You know, when it says that God is good, we can't say that God is good one day and then something bad happens to us and then the next day we say God is not good. Because the Bible says that He's the same today, yesterday and forever, right?
Yes.
If He's good one day, when everything's going good in our lives and we are blessed, then something happens bad, how can He be bad? He doesn't change.
Yes.
He's good. But whatever we're going through, He knows what is going through our lives, what's going on in our lives.
Yes.
And He says, I'll be with you. Anna, you're going to get that job because he's going with you. He's walking your yoke to Him.
Yes.
And He'll lead you right to that job. God is good.
Yeah.
Okay, Galatians chapter 22. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. There's one throne. There's one God. There's not three thrones or two thrones. There's one throne. And the God and the Lamb are the same thing. You can't separate the Son from the Father. You can't separate the Lamb from the what He called the Lion. He's one. In the midst of the street, and on either side of the river was there a tree of life, which bare all manner of fruits and yielded the fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So that river that's flowing from the throne of God is flowing right down the middle of the center of the street. And on either side it says there's a tree of life. And you can even take that and apply that to yourself. The river of life is flowing right down this main street of the city. If you are the city, and this is the main street of your city, right? God is flowing out of you. He's flowing right from the throne of God. Ezekiel 37, when he sees, and Ezekiel 47, I believe, we see the waters flowing from the throne of God. Starting off, just flowing. And then it got deeper and deeper and deeper where we can just swim in the water. And this river is just like what I said with the people in the wilderness. that river has to be flowing, that has to be gushing out of that rock. And that's how we should be in God. That river should be just gushing out of us. I remember when I got filled with the Holy Ghost the first time, I said about seven months, and I finally got filled with the Holy Ghost, but I never spoke. I never spoke again in tongues. And I kept praying. I said, God, give me what you gave me the first time. Like it felt so good. And then he was dangling the carrier fed me. Keep coming, keep hungry. Keep getting thirsty. And finally, one time after service, I knelt down. At the, was on Aikens. I knelt down, Aikens, the one upstairs, right? I knelt down at the altar and I was praying. And I go, no, he said, I'm going to get it again. And I was just ready to get up. I got up on one knee. And then something told me, he says, go back down. And just as I was going down, I just feel like there's water coming out of me. And as I was coming out of me, I just started speaking in tongues. And after that, no problem. I spoke in tongues for as many days as I could. Because I wanted that water flowing. I wanted my leaves nice and green. The tree of life, I wanted that.
Yeah.
And the tree of life which bears all manner of fruits. Yielded her fruit every month and believed in the trees for the healing of the nation. That river of life is for the healing of the nations. I always dread coming down here sometimes and always pass the main street there. And it's like I always feel that anger of what the devil has done to people. How he makes them so lost. And he doesn't just, he rubs their face right in the gutter too. You know, he's jealous and he says, if I'm going to burn in that hell for the rest of my life, he said, I'm going to take it to the people with me if possible. But we as the church, we are going to stop that. Not going to take all these people anymore. Because if we have the power of God that He has given us, we have to do what we can to stop the devil from destroying God's people. And everybody is God's people, whether they know it or not. They just like us, were born in sin. But God can take that sinner and give this life, this tree of life.
Yes.
There shall be no more curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and the servant shall serve it. And they shall see his face, and his glory shall be in their foreheads. You know what that name is?
Mm-hmm.
It's the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
One day we will see God face to face. You know, Moses asked God, he says, God, show me your glory. And he says, I can't, Moses. Oh, I can't show you my face. If any man sees my face, you're dead. But I can show you my goodness. And let his goodness pass by. And that's what God is still doing. He's still showing us his goodness. We can see the goodness of God in the Lamb of the living. Verse 17. Or let's go to 14. Blessed are they that read his commandments and that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. See, that's the city, that's the bride. And the only way to get into that city is to be washed with that blood of Jesus shed. We have a right to that tree of life. And we're washed in that blood. We have a right to eat of that fruit. We have a right to eat of that tree of life and drink the water
of life freely, that they may enter into the gates of the city. For without our dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and losers and whosoever loves the nature of the lie. See, there's that separation of the godly and the ungodly. The godly are going to have their way into the tree of life, into that sin. But the ungodly are going to be outside. I don't think they're going to be outside the city of love. But some places in the Bible it says that they're going to be cast out into outer darkness where there's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So we have a choice whether you have that godly life or the ungodly life. Whether we go into the tree of life or get cast out into outer darkness. So I don't know how much more I can say about this, other than that I just want to be live that godly life. And it's not hard, it's nothing. It's not hard to serve God because He has given us His Spirit for us to live with. And brother, I just like to tell you that I used to have psoriasis, and they were all over my body, chest, back, lower back, buttocks, legs. Everywhere there was psoriasis. I went up to pray one time in the church. I was on by the bridge, by the little faith. I didn't know, my mom came up behind me and she prayed for me. And then one day I looked, everything was clear. There was nothing on my arms, there was nothing on my chest. There's nothing on my back. There's nothing on my legs. And mom says, I told her, and she says, I went up behind you one day and I prayed for you. I gave my hand on you. And God healed me. I didn't even know. But that's the goodness of God, right?
Yes.
This is what we have here on life. We can see the goodness of God here on earth.
Yes.
When we get to heaven, who cares what it's going to be like?
Yeah.
Like, you know, God's going to be in control. But we have to control what we can do here on this earth. Like heaven and earth, you know? What's done in heaven should be done on earth. And who's it going to be done through? It's going to be done through His church.
Yeah.
Thinking where that scripture says, the manifold wisdom of God. He's going to show every principality and power in heavenly place the manifold wisdom of God.
Amen.
And He's going to do it through the church.
Amen.
Because that's where life is. That's where power is.
Amen.
And that's where God is. In the church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
My friends, do you feel God calling you to a born-again experience, as Acts 2:38 and 39 requires of us? Then I strongly encourage you to repent, turn back to God, get baptized in Jesus' name so that your sins will be forgiven. If you don't have a church that baptizes in Jesus' name close to you, then ask a friend or a family member to baptize you in water with full immersion, as it is upon your faith that you are being baptized in Jesus' name. Then God has a special gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in a heavenly language for you. If you believe it, then receive it in Jesus' name. May God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you have a prayer request, Brother Hines can be reached at togetherinprayer@live.ca. May God richly bless you.
I stood in the courtroom, the judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty, now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor, I have no defense. But that's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand, God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in. There and wonder, how could this be that someone so guilty had just been set free? My chains were broken, I felt born again. That mercy walked in. Oh, mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand, God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in. The blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven mercy walked in.
Charlotte, Sherry.